Fred Film Radio.
The Tallinn Black Nights Film Festival is currently underway, and joining us at this time is Nisan Dah, whose feature film When I'm Done Dying is having its world premiere within its program. Nisan, welcome to the show.
Hi, very nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm flying to Tallinn, Estonia, in a few days to join the world premiere of my feature film, When I'm Done Dying. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Right. It's going to be interesting, of course, with everything that's happening in the world.
Yeah, it's quite miraculous that I'm able to travel, actually. I'm very happy that I have this chance, hopefully, to share my film with live in front of an audience.
Yeah,
it's very valuable.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, let's introduce the film briefly, actually, because that you will be presenting, because we don't have much time to talk about it, unfortunately. But When I'm Done Dying, here's how I would introduce it. It's basically a film about star-crossed lovers, and it takes place within the Turkish hip-hop culture. And it actually explores the lives of today's Turkish youth. Let's get into it a bit more now that I've sort of given an idea of what it's about. First of all, I'm curious, how would you describe the link between Istanbul and hip-hop music? Like, what is the cultural significance of hip-hop in Istanbul and Turkey at large?
Yeah, I can start by saying that we have a music genre called arabesque music, which is very popular in Turkey, has been for many years. And the nature of arabesque is like talking about, speaking about your struggles in life, usually more personal, about love or like difficulties of life. And this form has been very popular among the slums as well, and in the working class. And I feel like the youth has picked up hip hop instead of the arabesque music. And what's different in arabesque is that it has a very melancholic and kind of a weak part of it, kind of like complaining all the time. But hip hop places the artist in a very strong position, more rebellious. And I think the youth particularly like this about hip hop. And I think that's why they embraced it so firmly, the genre.
So it's also a generational thing, I guess.
Yeah. Especially among the young generation, rap has been the popular the most. You can see now like 15, 14-year-olds even like rapping.
So how familiar were you with the scene, and what is it that sort of fascinated you about this culture from both a personal and a filmmaker's perspective?
Yeah, well, I didn't listen to much rap before, but after graduating from Columbia University in New York, I returned to Istanbul and directed this documentary for MTV, and I discovered the hip-hop subculture in the slums. And got fascinated by actually how much power the youth was drawing from their passion for rap music. Like the hip hop culture, also like graffiti and breakdance too, was giving strength to the kids and a reason to live and a ticket, like a way out of their life patterns. You know, instead of working in a repair shop, they can become rappers and make money that way. So that, I think, their passion inspired me the most. And I started liking rap music because in Turkey, rap is not about women's boobs and ass and, you know, like, sorry about the curse, but, you know, there's a lot of songs like involving that word in popular rap music, especially in the US. But also there's like a lot of political rap too. That's why, like in the film, you see the kids taking Tupac as a idol, like an example.
And you know, while we're on the topic of music, before I forget, because I wanted to ask you about this, where does the music of your film come from?
I worked with a very like a acclaimed rapper, beat maker called Da Poet. He's one of the best in Turkey, actually. And as I got interested in rap, I started listening to his songs and I really liked them. And I was very happy that he accepted to work on the film when I approached him.
And the songs as well as your film sort of explore also the plight of the young people. And, you know, one of the plights that is explored in the film is actually that of addiction. So this is obviously something that is a global problem. Is it something that you have observed or even experienced, not directly, but indirectly, perhaps yourself in some way?
Yeah, I have witnessed and seen and met people who are addicted to this drug. And I've seen how devastating the effects could be on someone's life. It can take all the light in your life and turn your life into misery. So I witnessed this while doing the documentary. And afterwards, I had volunteered to teach in the children's workshop in one of the slums. And I ended up spending quite a long time there. And that's when I've seen all these people who were under the influence of the drug. And yeah, it's quite terrifying, actually, knowing that it is so deadly that even if you use it once, it could kill you. But people still do it, and which is something also very hard to understand.
It is interesting in your film to kind of observe the parallel, even comparison perhaps, that you make with your film. I don't know whether it was intentional or not. I'll ask you about it in a moment. But it's like we were talking earlier about how the hip-hop culture is sort of empowering. And in a way, that too provides people with a way out from the reality of their existence, which it's not a great reality, perhaps. At the same time, though, on the other end of the spectrum, another way to escape it is with drugs, by taking drugs. So there is a kind of a paradoxical similarity between the two, right?
Exactly. Like when you think, like, why would someone want to choose this drug? And it's because the reality of life is so bad there that, and this is in one of the lyrics too. Fehmi says that instead of accepting the harsh reality of life, they would rather turn into zombies. And that's referring to what people look like actually when they're under the influence of the drug. They literally look like zombies from outside. So you're right. Drug is also an escapism, but a more temporary one.
Your film explores really well, Nisan, is that of the more universal artistic formation, because I feel this film is also about a young man who is on his way to becoming an acclaimed hip-hop artist and the challenges he faces along the way, not only due to his own addiction, but also, for example, in his relationship with his family that expect him to become an ordinary breadwinner, quote unquote, and fail to support him or even understand his talents. And that all kind of made me think of how difficult it is to become an artist. Do you feel that's true? And do you feel that becoming an artist also depends on the cultural background or social class that one comes from?
Exactly. It is true. I agree with you that you don't have support from families. And furthermore, in neighborhoods like this, actually, like I knew the rappers I knew from the documentary, their parents didn't want them to do rap music because they saw it as devil's work. Like they associated rap with devil because they said you go to places where people drink alcohol and you make music. And that's not kosher, you know, that's not okay. And the kids are under this kind of pressure as well. They're being forced to think that they're doing something evil or bad. But of course, they don't care. And I have even a lyric in the film that goes like they say rap is devil's work. I don't care. Like and I only worship rap. Like that's their god, basically. So yeah, there's this additional layer of social pressure that being a musician is not approved.
Right. And it is kind of a very global thing because it sort of reminds me of when rock and roll got big and people were saying that was the devil's work in the United States. So it's something that also.
Oh, wow. Who said this?
Well, you know, this is something that used to happen in the States when rock and roll became big. People just thought it was devil music. It sort of happens really? All the time, right? A new generation comes along with a new music and the older generation is like, well, that's devil music. Maybe not that explicitly, but it is really, really interesting to see. And you know, so the film takes place in the slums, as you said, but does your cast also come from there? I mean, what was the casting process like?
No, my cast members mainly don't come from the slums. Actually, my lead actor, it was very hard to find Fehmi because, you know, you need someone who can rap and who can act very, like, difficult scenes of the drug effects. So I searched for over a year, actually, and I was starting to get really depressed not finding Fehmi. But then in the office of the cast director I work with, this girl started interning, and her very close friend was Oktay, who played Fehmi. So it was at the end, like after a year and a half of searching, it was good luck that we stumbled upon Oktay, who was the perfect person for the part. But he actually comes from a privileged background, a very well-educated family, and he would hang out in nice neighborhoods of the city. So he was really like almost the opposite of the character. So I was at first very concerned if he's going to be able to pull off, because realism and authenticity is very important to me. I even auditioned a lot of rappers, but I didn't get convinced that they can pull off the drug scenes performances. And I preferred to stick with performance. And I felt it's easier to teach someone how to rap than teach someone how to act. So, yeah. That's how it went with casting Fehmi.
Yeah. You know, just to get into it a little bit more, what were the characteristics that were in your mind when you were looking for an actor to play that part?
Yeah. We say in Turkish, some people have this quality called the devil's feather. It means like someone who is not necessarily the nicest person, but you can't help but like them because they have the devil's feather. You know, it's some kind of a energy that attracts you to them. And they're like, it was very complex because like Fehmi is not an angel, but he's also naive. I wanted him to be a little goofy, but not in a like very stupid way, but in a charming way, but also have like this bad boy charm, that kind of bad boy charisma. So a lot of qualities mixed, but the most important thing was him being likable, because it's very difficult to keep liking Fehmi after all the bad choices he makes throughout the film. He's a frustrating character, just as other drug addicts are. So that's why I try to find someone whom we can see like their vulnerabilities. And I feel like Oktay, the actor who has this ability of showing through his vulnerable side through his eyes. So that's what I was looking for, essentially.
Just looking at the style of the film, you mentioned that you mentioned the documentary that you shot before this movie. Do you find that that experience also impacted the style of this film?
Yeah, actually, I mean, the documentary impacted the style, because even the mood video of this film, when I was looking for finance, I edited the mood video from the documentary footage. So I think deep down in my brain, the style had stayed. And I work with the same cinematographer who shot parts of the documentary. And he also filmed my first feature, John Wakayama Carey. Like, I know him from school, actually. So I've known him for 10 years now. And, I work with him for pretty much everything I did. Some of my shorts too, we did together. So I think, there is a unity also coming from having worked with JP together.
Right. And, you know, this is going to have to be my last question, but focusing in on a significant detail of when I'm done dying, I appreciated the creative use of animation in the film. Can you tell me about the origins of this idea and how you were able to make it happen? Because essentially, you know, for people who, again, who haven't seen the film or are not familiar with the film, the animation is especially used in the moments that depict, you know, the drug sequences.
Well, I have an animation background. I used to make animated shorts. That's how I started storytelling. And I love animation a lot. So when I was making this film, I knew that drug addiction is a theme that's like overdone in cinema. And I was thinking of ways to creatively show the drug trips. So that's how animation came to my mind. I saw it as a tool of expression. And I love animation so much. So like I think somehow also wanted to incorporate that. I think it was a very risky choice because animation can throw people out sometimes. But I'm very happy with the final outcome and the feedback I'm getting from like professional, like industry people who've seen the film. Usually it looks like the animations have really worked well. And I'm very relieved because I always had this worry of losing my audience when animations interrupt the film. But I think I managed to transform to the animated moments somehow organically that it doesn't feel interrupted in the film, hopefully.
Right. It's interesting how we were talking earlier about documentary and then now you're telling me that you have a background in animation. I guess all of these become, you know, part of your bag of tools when it comes to expressing yourself in your films. They're all valuable experiences.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. So I don't see animation as a separate genre. I just see it as a tool of visual expression. Same way you can use a special lens that makes everything bird's eye view, like a fish eye. That's like a tool, a visual tool of storytelling that says something. And same thing I think goes for animation too.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Nisan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you too.
Thank you.
Also, I want to say this was my very first podcast. So,
wow.
Yeah, my pleasure as well.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.